from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
He decided to spread it out to a bunch of guys and not focus on maybe two or three players that could have made a real difference. Mm-hmm. His biggest expenditure was Aroldis Chapman. There's actually people who think now that Chapman in the next 2 days is going to get placed on waivers and see if he can latch on with another team for the last month of the season, because he would be postseason eligible if he gets on their roster before September 1st. The Giants, who are much closer to a playoff spot than the Pirates, but still, you know, not even really shouting distance. I mean, they're buried. They're like six games out, I think, and maybe 500. They play some of their players on waivers today, trying to cut payroll and see if anybody would take.
Cleveland did this a couple years, or Cleveland claimed a bunch of guys.
Yeah, Lucas Giolito from the Angels last year was one of them.
Yeah, this happened, and this was like a big controversy, remember, around baseball.
Yep, that's right. So that's the team Ben Cherington has built, where they, after buying at the deadline, might actually get rid. They tried it with Michael A. Taylor, Malzi, and nobody wanted him, and ended up back in center field.
No, get out of here. Nobody wanted a guy with an OPS of, like, they need a microscope to see. Good guy, though. That's why people have largely not killed him for how bad he's been. I don't know, man. Like, here's a question I have for you. I don't think I've ever asked you this when we've gone back and forth about Cherington. I think we're in pretty much lockstep about Derek Shelton. Goodbye. Don't let the door hit you where the
lights. And no one has said to me that he's safe, for the record.
There have been other things that I will just keep under my hat that have apparently happened in that, on that same kind of front or level, that also seem to indicate that there's some real displeasure with him or unhappiness about his performance. But let me ask you this. If Ben Cherington does stay, like you've been told, or you're getting the inkling that he is, like, very safe right now, no one's talking about him as, like, hot seat anything, what in his time with the Pirates makes you think that next offseason is going to be any different, that he will use the money that he does get from Bob Nutting more wisely, that he is going to successfully identify the flaws this team has and patch them with free agents? And before you even answer, I will say, keep in mind, he and everybody else associated with this team has largely pinned improvements for next year on internal, already existing options.
What gives me hope that he's going to be able to do it?
What makes you think it'll be different than it was this year, where he did not spend the money well?
Sure.
Where the team doesn't even look like they're going to get to their projected win total, despite being most of the way there with 2 months left to play.
I think there's a reason to think he'll build a better bullpen next year, because he's had success doing that in the past. And I don't really have a lot to go by in terms of him going out and bringing in hitters or position players from other organizations and feeling like he's going to hit lightning in a bottle, or he's going to latch onto something there that makes me feel like we're going to be in great shape for next year. Even though I would think that there's going to be more money available to him to spend this offseason than last.
Why would you think that?
Because of the way the owner has talked about urgency and needing to win and wanting to win and thinking that they're a playoff team. But
he talked about that this year.
And being further along and saying things like, if more fans showed up at games, that we'll put more money into the team, and more fans have gone to games this year, in large part thanks to Paul Skeens when he's pitched at home. So that's my thinking. I mean, you get more money to work with, I think chances are you build a better team. It doesn't always work that way.
The payroll will be $100 million next year?
I think it could be close, yeah. So what are they now, 89? So that's an $11 million increase. I mean, that's another Aroldis Chapman. is what that is. That's another potential.
Another guy who could pitch better than your closer and eighth inning guy, but would be stuck in the seventh inning role.
Well, who do you blame that on?
Derek Shelton.
So that's more, you think that's more of a Shelton?
Matt, let me put it this way. We always hear about in modern baseball, front offices and analytics departments have a lot of sway over managers, even when they say they don't or they say, no, that's the manager's discretion. I find it very hard to believe that Ben Cherington and all of his analytics people would have continued to tell Derek Shelton right up through yesterday even and after yesterday's game, oh, no. The analytics say David Bednar is our best relief option late in games to close them. I think most of the people in that department would probably be like, hey, Derek, you could have done this a while ago.
But it's such a significant decision. If I were the GM of the team and I give my manager pretty stern instructions on what to do with the lineup and who hits where and who plays when, that would be something that I would go to him on and say, all right, I've given you time with this guy. You wanted to be loyal to him. You want to have faith in him because he's done it for you before. It's over. You got to make a change. And if you want to be my manager, you have to do it. It's not easy, but right now you're too close to the situation. You're too chummy, whatever it is. And I'm dictating to you, if you want to still be my manager, that you have to make this. That change. Yes, I would do that if I were Ben Cherington. And if that's overstepping my bounds, so be it. I would go to the owner and say,
they don't care about overstepping bounds. The GMs usually run these teams. Here's the part of it that is insane to me. Do you think sometimes they have made moves or not made moves? Specifically with Bednar, do you think that there is a possibility, if not a likelihood, that last year they did not trade him because they did not want to deal with the backlash of trading an all-star?
Do I think that? Do I think that? Yes. Do I know that for sure? No, but I do think
that. But you think that that's plausible because they would have an eye towards ticket sales and just general fan happiness, right? Let me offer you this.
He's a very marketable player because he's from here. Exactly.
Was a marketable player. Let me offer you this. Right now, because nobody, wraps its arms around our own like Pittsburgh does, and also nobody shoves them in front of a moving vehicle like Pittsburgh does when it goes bad, your fans, if you're the Pirates, want to see a pound of flesh taken out of David Bednar. They want him to be demoted. When people hear Renegade come on, now they're getting the tremors because it's horrible. If you want to make a move that is motivated at, not even placating, but just throwing the smallest of bones to your fans, letting people know that there is somebody operating the locomotive here at the switch who understands what's going on and is seeing that, you would demote that guy. No one, and I mean no, does David Bednar's family even want to see him come out for the ninth with a one-run lead? Seriously.
Man, if our anxiety levels are high, I can't really imagine what theirs are.
So do you think anybody in that park, other than maybe like kids who truly don't know any better, Pony, when he came out there, really wanted to see him out there?
None of us felt good about that yesterday in real time.
So throw your fans a bone and actually demote the guy. Show that there are consequences for your actions. You don't perform well enough, you don't get the role that made you so beloved in town. But they haven't done that, man. Shelton's answer yesterday that went right through me was when Noah Hyles, to his credit, asked a point-blank question. I like it when people ask these, and it was just simple. Is David Bednar still your closer? Hey, Noah, that's too fresh. Too fresh? What is too fresh about the situation? He has been bad. He is a rotting fish right now on the mound.
He's a broken record reliever. It's happened over and over and over and over and over again. There's no excuse. There's no excuse for keeping him. The worst mark of a manager is when you continue to put players in positions where they can't succeed, and that's what he's doing right now. He's trying to force it. He's being stubborn and obstinate about it, in part because it worked early in the season when he had his April hiccups. And also, I feel like with guys like Rowdy Tellez, they feel vindicated because the guys came out of their slump and their patience was rewarded. Or even they might even feel that way on a smaller level about Grandal, too. Elite catching from Grandal all year.
Then that would be Cherington, because I think he was the one on Tellez specifically who was backing that notion. He said as much. Bednar looks shook out there.
He does. I don't think his confidence is there.
So here's another thing about Shelton. A manager should be able to see that, dude.
I know.
A pitching coach. Oscar Marin's got to be like, Derek, look at the guy. He looks like a basket case on the mound. How many hitters? I didn't do the research on this. How many hitters do you think he has walked first batter walked in these games that have gone wrong? How many times has one of those bad outings of his this month?
I'm sure. The leadoff man has gotten on, whether it's by a hit or by a walk, in almost all.
one of them. Yeah. By the way, Craig's buddy Lauren, the muscular pirate was not the official name, but I was the pirate mascot, Captain Jolly Roger. It was not. Hey kids, you want to take a picture with the muscular pirate?
Yeah. I brought it up to Donnie. Donnie had no idea what I was talking about. He was speechless on it.
Well, that guy was like, kind of like Steely McBeam in that he moved in darkness here. He was moving under the...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Radar.
Steelers on Tuesday selected their 53-man roster. They have made zero moves since. One of only a handful of teams to just completely stand pat. Ray Fittipaldo joins us right now, Steelers insider, to talk about it, brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers, 7 locations in the Pittsburgh region. They'll take your personal injury case personally, lgkg.com. What gives? I mean, did they not like any of the players that got cut by other teams in the last 49 hours?
Well, Tony, I mean, there are some acquisitions that, you know, still could happen. This Brandon Ayuk thing seems to be coming to a conclusion. I don't know if it's going to be today, tomorrow, or the weekend. But listen, I mean, we're almost, a week away from the 49ers opening their season, and it seems like they want to get something resolved there. So, it could be that that's the first domino, and then maybe we would see some other moves. And listen, I still think they're going to acquire a slot corner, whether that's via a trade or some other manner. I think those are the two big positions we're looking at, receiver and slot corner. And I don't think they're done. I still think there's work to be done here.
Ray, how likely or unlikely do you think it is that they actually still come all the way back around and end up getting Ayuk when all the dust settles on this?
I mean, it doesn't seem like he wants to be in San Francisco, Chris. Hasn't shown up for practice the last 2 days. He didn't show up to a team function, a dinner. I think that was today or that was yesterday, maybe. I forget which. It seems like it's coming to a head. So if I had to put a percentage on it, if it's going to happen, the Steelers are pretty much the only team left standing. So I would say at this point, 80-20 that it happens. I don't know a timetable on when it's going to happen, but it seems like it's almost, I don't want to say an inevitability, but it certainly seems like things are in the Steelers' favor right now.
Ray, one of the other things that people have bandied about and speculated on is the conspiracy theory as to why their practice squad hasn't been released. Every team has done so. The Steelers have not. And Kadarius Toney is still a free agent. So do you think they could be working on signing him to their practice squad?
Well, I think there's a different process for vested veterans in terms of, guys who don't have that status. So you saw 8 announced today. Maybe some other teams have added veterans. I haven't really looked at what the other teams are doing. But, I think eventually those 6 spots that will go to veterans obviously will be filled by veterans.
I don't think Tony technically is one, though, because he's still on his rookie contract, right, Ray? Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's eligible for that.
I thought being a vested veteran was, I thought it was 3 years of service. I could be wrong, but
okay.
I don't think being on a rookie contract is the same as being a vested veteran. Okay. So, you know, most of the guys the Steelers just signed, you know, were not veterans. So I think you'll see those guys added here in the next day or so.
Ray, I'm still reeling from the 80-20 thing on Aiyuk. You've blindsided me there. I was expecting a much lower number on the percentage chance they get Aiyuk, but I'm trying to move on here. As far as slot corner, is this, again, a move where you think they're going to pick over what's still out there or actively try to trade to acquire somebody?
Well, you know, being 20th in the waiver wire claim didn't do them any favors. So I think acquiring one via trade is probably, you know, the way they're going to go on that. And, you know, it's not something that the Steelers haven't done before. You know, they got Vance McDonald about a week to go before the season. And, you know, Vance was a pretty sharp guy. He stepped in and was a contributor, you know, pretty much early in that first season he was with the team. You know, maybe you can get a veteran slot corner who can pick things up quickly and, you know, you go that route. If not, Beanie Bishop's the guy. And, you know, he's been banged up and hopefully – you know, they sat him and he rested and, you know, he's good for the season. But there's almost no pure backup for him on the roster. They would have different options with safeties coming down to play slot and that sort of thing. But there's really no backup on the roster other than Thomas Graham, who's on the practice squad. So we'll see where that goes. You know, I do think they're going to add one here in the next couple of days. And, you know, just sit tight. I think it will happen.
Ray, let's get into some of the injury stuff. Chances that Troy Fautanu is out there September 8th against the Falcons?
I'm going to say he'll be inactive at this point. I still want to wait to see what happens on Monday. If he's a full participant on Monday and they are hell-bent on getting him into the lineup because they feel he's that good, then, yeah, it's a possibility, but I don't think it's a great possibility right now.
Hathorn said with us yesterday he thinks it's Spencer Anderson over Mason McCormick to fill the shoes of Samalu because Anderson has worked out on the left side and McCormick has not. Do you agree with that?
Well, not only that, but Spencer got a ton of first-team reps because they rested Isaac Samalu so much during camp. So he's familiar, you know, with that operation. Not that it matters now because Herbig's hurt, but, you know, he worked a lot with the left tackle and the center during camp. So it seems like they're going to go in that direction. But listen, Mason McCormick is a talented guy. They like him as well. So, you know, I think that he'll be in play, but I would expect Anderson to get the start.
How many games, if you had to pinpoint, would you actually say Samalu is going to miss? If you're just taking a guess and understanding as I ask you that is an inexact science, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say 4 games. I guess there's an outside chance that he could come back, you know, because he got hurt about 10 days before the start of the season. Outside chance that he could come back for that Colts game. And remember, guys, you can bring 8 guys back from IR. So that's a move that they can make sometime in the next couple of days. Put Samalu on IR, you know, add somebody else to the 53-man roster, and then he, of course, can come back the week after that Colts game at the end of the month.
When do you think we see Roman Wilson?
I'm almost 100% he'll be inactive for the first game. Just doing some light stuff here this week in practice. We'll see what he does next week. But it would be a pretty big upset for, you know, to see him out there in the opener. Listen, if he does well and he practices well, hey, maybe second, third game. But I don't think you'll see him for the Falcons game.
Did the Jaylen Warren hamstring injury open the door for Najee Harris to, at the very least, be the feature back against the Falcons in week one, Ray?
Yeah, for 1 week, probably. You know, I think they're going to want to be as careful as they can. But, I mean, talked to Jaylen this week, and he said he had a grade 2 hamstring strain as a rookie, and he only missed 1 game. This is a grade 1, so he didn't even feel like it was – as severe as that first one. So quick healer, you know, we'll see how it goes. But, you know, I think, yeah, for 1 game, maybe it'll be 60-40, 70-30 instead of 50-50.
Ray, how much of a role can we expect Corey Trice to play for this team early in the season?
Yeah, I mean, Corey played well until he tweaked his groin a little bit, had a couple of tackles in that Detroit game. So, you know, talked to Terrell Austin about this last week, and, you know, I asked him a question. How do you know when these young guys are ready for those roles? And I was talking about Corey Trice and Darius Rush, and he basically said it's like dice. You know, sometimes you got to bet on the come. And I think those guys, like the offensive linemen, the young offensive linemen, they're going to learn on the job. And I think right now they feel like it's worth the risk. Maybe they'll make some mistakes early in the season. But what Austin said, you know, by October, by November, hopefully, if they keep progressing, you know, there'll be key pieces to that defense.
Mike Tannenbaum, who ran two AFC East teams into the ground, Ray, continues to get a platform to say ridiculous things about the Steelers, including the latest. Mike Tomlin should go into the Hall of Fame on the first ballot if he gets this team to 9-8. Your thoughts on the expectations being so low for the Steelers that just a winning season would be viewed as a great coaching job?
Isn't that like the mean? Like when you have people on like me, don't we all say like 9-8, 10-7? I mean, that's the expectation. And for him to say it would be some kind of tremendous feat, I don't know where that comes from. I guess it's because the offense has been so bad the last couple of years. But listen, this defense, I think it can be better than last year. Last year they had a nice little run. I know the schedule wasn't as tough, but you add Patrick Queen, you add Deshaun Elliott, you get faster. Guys like Dante Jackson, I mean, this defense has a chance, if they stay healthy, to be a legit top 10 defense, both in yards and in points. So I don't know where that comes from, but kind of seems to be a theme, you know, on the national level.
I don't understand it, Ray, because it takes all this agency away from Tomlin. Like, he's just handed this roster from on high, has absolutely zero say-so in it. And it's like, well, I'll just try to make do again. I'm blindfolded and have earmuffs on while all of this is happening. And then I open up the box on Christmas morning and here's my roster. I almost think it's borderline insulting to Tomlin from some of these guys that they act like he's not involved with the roster construction.
You know, I guess all these national people don't read clips because, I mean, if you know the Steelers, you know that Mike Tomlin goes on all these pro day visits. I mean, he's basically coaching in the Senior Bowl. So I don't know how you believe that he's not involved. I mean, ESPN televises that, don't they? The Senior Bowl, or, you know, they cover it, you know, very well. So he should know that. So, I don't know why Tannenbaum does that. I mean, there are other guys on the national scene who seem to have it out for the Steelers as well. Hey, time will tell. I don't think this is going to be a great team this season, guys, but I think 9-8, 10-7, that's certainly not out of the question.
Donnie is going to ask Mark Cabali this question later tonight, so I figured I'll ask it to you. Would you rank Mason Rudolph as a quarterback ahead of either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields?
For the Steelers scheme?
Sure.
I mean, I'll say no, just because I know Mike Tomlin wants mobility in his starting quarterback, and he talked about that again yesterday. I mean, it remains to be seen how mobile Wilson is with his calf injury. I don't think, you know, the couple of snaps he took in the preseason are going to tell that tale. But listen, Mason Rudolph is a good quarterback, guys. He's your traditional pocket passer. I think he's probably better served being a backup in this league, but he's definitely a guy you can win with in the short term if your starter does have an injury.
Ray Fittipaldo, Post-Gazette, Steelers Insider. Thank you, Ray.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Your heart care matters. Get your heart checked at UPMC Heart and Vascular Institute. Several Pirates fans may be seeking the care of the people at UPMC after witnessing that historic loss yesterday. A lot of questions now about what becomes of the Pirates and the people that have been calling the shots for the last half decade. Dan Zangrilli, his performance on pre- and post-game is oftentimes a must-listen. Dan, are you happy you had yesterday off, or would you have reveled in a situation like that to be presiding over that, presenting that?
Talking about history, even kind of even ignominious history.
I've had my fair share of it, so I'm happy to spread the wealth around, if you will. So, indeed, it was very, very enjoyable to watch somebody else have to endure the cavalry, and that guy being Paul Alexander at KDKA. So, good for Paul, and good for me.
Dan, it doesn't seem like Derek Shelton is on the firmest ground right now. Do you think that that's fair?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything to that end, so I wouldn't go that far. But,
oh, so you think he's in good shape then?
I would think. I have heard absolutely nothing. Not that we necessarily would have with something like this if we can't even get intel and they've been able to keep lock and key and hermetically sealed his contract status. I certainly would think that they would do much of the same, if not more, with the actual job status. And heck, last time around, you know, there was a lot of, I think, confusion as to whether or not the general manager was going to survive, that being Neil Huntington, after he was allowed to fire Clint Hurdle and then begin a managerial search, actually, with, ironically enough, Derek Shelton, and then only to be fired. So stuff like this is very much under lock and key, but I've heard nothing, but I would venture a guess. If I'm to like check the box yes or no, and it's not necessarily with confidence, I would check yes that he would be back in 2025.
And if you were them, what argument would you make in favor of doing that or try to?
I would be diving into the type of losses that they've had in that, like over this really putrid stretch. You caught a ridiculously white-hot Padres and Diamondbacks team in a very condensed stretch, number one. And secondly, you know, you don't have a closer. A lot of your reliable guys like Holderman just completely lost what was an otherwise really solid, like, track record. They just, with no real warning signs, and Bednar may be a little bit of a different conversation, you had nothing otherwise to go to. And I'm not saying that he has managed every game perfectly. I've taken him to task for plenty, and I think he is complicit more than he is not. But I think once you dive into these games and when you look at the 40-some-odd runs that they gave up, say, for instance, over this three-game series, it was by a lot of bootleggers that otherwise don't matter, that have no future with this team. So I think the general manager will grade him on a curve to a certain extent. Now, whether or not he should be doing that, that's, again, a different conversation. But I think once you pop the hood on a lot of these losses, I'm not sure that they're going to necessarily make a managerial change decision whether to retain or dismiss based on essentially a 3 to 4 week stretch.
Would it kill them to formally demote David Bednar then? Would it kill Derek Shelton to say, no, he's not going to close games for us anymore? That would be a nice thing to hear from the manager, Dan.
It would, Chris, but here's what you also want to do is, because now that the season is over, you need to really make sure and answer questions as to Bednar's long-term sustainability in this role, and you want that sample size to be large enough. Listen, it's growing. It's pretty substantial. If you were in a competitive situation right now, maybe you consider that, but you have had all of a sudden this answer for so many years become a question mark. I'm sure they're kicking around the idea as to whether or not you bring back Aroldis Chapman for 2025. I would. Let's make sure that you answer that question fully with the biggest sample size that you possibly can, because
Dan,
this can factor into their offseason plans as to whether or not they're in the market for a closer.
I'm not sure Aroldis Chapman is on their roster on Labor Day, to be honest with you. I mean, the Giants are placing players on waivers today trying to shed payroll because they're waving the white flag. Why wouldn't the Pirates do that? He'd get picked up in a second by another team, unlike Michael A. Taylor.
He would, and you're thinking of this as just a total payroll dump?
That's what the Angels did last year when they were in it in July and then fell out of it in August. Lucas Giolito and two other guys got picked up, and I'm saying that's what the Giants are doing now, too.
I think you have so many question marks. I think you are he's about as close as a sure thing, and that's not necessarily saying much. Chapman, that is. I think you hang on to him. I'm not sure you're going to, you know, even though whatever money you could save, I'm not sure it's necessarily worth it, because he could be, again, a factor for the Pirates in 25. They're probably kicking that around.
Dan, do you think baseball people, when they look at what's gone on here, do you think they blame Charrington more and almost feel sorry for Shelton because he's just playing the hand that was dealt to him?
No, I think they probably look at their overall offensive philosophy, because that's really what has, I think, at the end of the day, though, while it's been the bullpen lately, but if we want to look at the season at large, why did it go wrong and why did they not achieve what they should have achieved? I think it's because of their offensive strategy. So I think they're going to look at the Pirates.
And who sets the tone for that? Shelton or Ian trusts Haynes to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's probably a Haynes thing, with Shelton obviously very much involved because of his background by nature. Yep. So I think you're going to see a change in offensive philosophy and game plan, really, as to how they just go about it and how they extrapolate value out of young guys. Listen, again, the season is laid at the feet of Henry Davis, Key Bryan, Hayes, and Jack Sawinski, right? Like, those guys falling short. And listen, the bullpen's been a big part of this as well, guys, but that's something that's far more mercurial.
Agreed.
Year over year than developing crucial,
speaking of development, then, Dan, speaking of development, here's a name I brought up. Pony asked me to rank the five people most responsible for this collapse that they've suffered, and I ranked John Baker as one of them because he's supposed to be the guy developing people who are coming up through their system. Most of these guys come up, and it looks like some of them have never been taught how to actually play baseball. I know it's in the weeds, but that's why I'm asking you, because you're an in-the-weeds kind of guy. You get into the minutia. How much blame does a guy like John Baker deserve for the fact that this team can't seem to produce a legitimate, well-rounded player?
Yeah, his fair share, without question. And those are the areas that you need to look at. And those are the things that the Pirates can control. There's not much that they can control. And you've got to be able to draft, develop, and make sure guys are ready at the next level. That's the only thing that the Pirates can really be good at or better than other people at. And if you're not going to be league average at that, you've got to find a way to get there. And listen, that's absolutely an area that I'm looking at for sure, Chris.
Dan, it was treated almost like a footnote, but I actually think it's a pretty big story what went on with their Latin American Baseball Academy, where they basically got rid of the guy this week who was in charge of that whole thing. Something like three Pirates players in the last 8 years have come out of there. The only guy on the major league roster who was born and bred there is Luis Ortiz. How can you pour millions of dollars into that operation and almost get nothing to show for it?
Are you talking recently or the last 20 years? Because either way, you'd be right, Andrew.
I'm saying since, remember, they made such a big deal out of building the new facility there, and then Rene Gallo left. And what have they done since, Dan?
Starling Marte, and that's it. Starling Marte is the only success story. And if you want to throw Gregory Polanco for a hot minute into that mix, okay, well, then it's Starling Marte since, 2007? It is the most under-talked about thing when it comes to the Pirates, period, end of sentence. And I'm as guilty as any for not shining as big a light as otherwise should be on it.
What do people say about why it's so bad? You ever get any answers on that?
No, and I haven't dug into it probably the way that I should have, and I'm not sure it's really easy to get that sort of information because it's, you know, the happenings going on in another country, but, you've got a lot of scouts down there, and there's a lot of crazy business dealings, and I think from what I've gathered and hearing some war stories, you have to, and I'm not necessarily giving the Pirates a pass here, you have to do business a different way. And you've seen what the Atlanta Braves have done. Their general manager for a time was banned from baseball. And there have been some really just shady, shady stuff that goes on. And ethically and honorably or not, I'm not sure the Pirates really have engaged in that sort of thing. And again, I'm not trying to paint them as some sort of, you know, benevolent heroes there. But I think sometimes you got to get some dirt under your fingernails.
What
down
is this
in Latin
music
America.
In the background going on? Are you at a discotheque of some kind or something?
Yeah, well,
Dan's got a plaid leisure suit on right now, and he's getting ready to get down.
Yeah, I've got my pen handy, if you know what I mean, and not the one that I'm writing with.
Oh, where
are
you?
I'm kidding. That's a joke. No, I'm at Dave and Buster's at the waterfront. We've got our Thursday night must listen appointment listening high school football quest for the best powered by Bowser Show with Mike White of the Post Gazette. 6 o'clock.
Any skee ball?
Oh, I actually get sensory overload when I walk back there. Chris, I'm not sure if you've been there lately. It's too much for me. I'm in my old age.
Do not downplay that show. I like that show. I've listened to it a ton. You, Mike White, and Kasparovich had an unbelievable debate about how El Equipo would do at 5A on that show last year. And Kasparovich said basically they beat a lot, and you and Mike White were just exchanging blows with him. That was great radio, Dan. Do you still feel that way?
No, I mean, I think you're pulling my leg because that's, you know, what you do so well as a Syracuse man tends to. I would otherwise, Chris, did you enjoy that?
As a Syracuse man tends to, what is this, 1952?
Yes, the chicanery of an intern Dom, for example, who is now getting praised by Erotica, by Club Erotica. Yeah. But continue, Dan.
Yeah, par for the course from the Orange Man. But anyway, yeah, we're going to talk about El Equipo tonight, and would they have been better off in 5A, because I'm looking at their 4A schedule. And guess what? I think their schedule this year is tougher than the one that they would have played in 5A.
Hey, last one before we let you run and get ready for that. Obviously, we get people that say Terry Francona would be great. He's from New Brighton. He's 65 years old. How many popsicles can he eat during a season where he's not working before he gets the itch to come back and do it again? And Mulsey brought up him working with Ben Cherington in Boston. Did that end well enough where you could see that flame rekindled, Dan, or
That's a good question, and something that I don't have necessarily a clear answer on, but it's a question worth asking, because if you remember, the way that it ended was very unceremonious, and it was really embarrassing for Francona, painted him as losing the clubhouse entirely and underachieving and just having no handle on things, and really took a two-time World Series champion and shamed him out the door. But I would, I mean, if are you asking me, would I love Terry Francona?
Well, I know manager this much about Terry Francona. His players, especially some big ego, big talent Red Sox teams and some Cleveland teams over the years that were more plucky underdogs.
Oh, they die for him.
They both liked him and respected him. And I'm not sure the second part of that is true necessarily when it comes to this manager and his players.
I mean, if the stars aligned and you could bring Terry Francona here to Pittsburgh, and
is he living in New Brighton still? Is he back there? I'd go drive wherever he's living, and I would drive him to Pittsburgh.
I mean, I would pedal a bike with a sidecar on it. I mean, I would do what Lloyd and Harry. Was it Lloyd and who else in Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah, they were on a little moped.
Yes, Lloyd Christmas and Harry Dunn were their names, Dan.
That's right. I mean, and I would wrap my arms around him and put my head on his shoulder and say, let's go down 65, brother, and make our way to the North Shore. But here's the other side of that. What's his health going to be like? Can he withstand, if he wanted to come back? That's the whole deal. That's you really have to have a good second lieutenant if you're going to make that happen. And there's probably more questions than there are answers. And again, the third one, like how chummy are he and Ben Cherington? But if you could answer all of those questions and you were certain, oh my gosh, I would think that you ought to also have a ton of other suitors for those services.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nore Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nore Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nore.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.